you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
What's up and welcome into another edition of the Next Pats Podcast. Phenomenal episode for you today because we have a phenomenal guest. He's the executive director of the Reese's Senior Bowl. It is Jim Nagy, former Patriots scout, spent 18 years in the NFL as a scout for a variety of organizations. He understands what teams are looking for. He understands specifically what they're looking for at the Senior Bowl. He gets to know all of these players incredibly well during the pre-draft process. And so tremendous for us to have Jim to talk about all of these guys that made it to New England from the Senior Bowl this year. Jarrett Stidham, quarterback from Auburn. Byron Cowart, the defensive lineman from Maryland. Chase Winovich was invited to the Senior Bowl, ended up not being able to participate because of injury, but somebody that obviously we're going to spend a lot of time talking about over the course of the next few weeks and months. Jim got to know him very well. Jake Bailey, the punter out of Stanford, he was at the Senior Bowl. We're even going to talk a little bit about Jake Bailey. So stick with us. Great conversation with Jim Nagy. But before we get into things with Jim, I did want to share one Senior Bowl specific answer we got from Nick Caserio about the benefits provided to these players and the teams when it comes to that week down in Mobile, Alabama.
The great thing about the Senior Bowl, you're seeing some of the best players, and have actually been some underclassmen that have been incorporated into that mix. So you're seeing them against good competition, and it's a different dynamic or different situation that they've been placed in. You're kind of taking them out of their environment that they've been in and kind of giving them something new and see how they handle it. So against good people, you know, because a lot of those players that were there, I'm sure we'll go back and look at this, see who was at the Senior Bowl, how many players were drafted, how many players were on rosters, and there's probably going to be a decent correlation. So it's just you get to an opportunity to evaluate them in a different environment and kind of see how they handle that transition or something different.
So the Patriots obviously value the Senior Bowl highly, specifically at the quarterback spot. We're going to talk a lot more about Jarrett Stidham with Jim Nagy, but Jimmy Garoppolo was somebody in 2014, obviously not facing the highest level of competition at Eastern Illinois, goes to the Senior Bowl, rips it up. I think that held a lot of value for the Patriots back in 2014. In doing some of our due diligence on quarterbacks in this year's draft class, asking around about Will Grier, who, like Garoppolo, played in a quarterback-friendly system in college, did not play against great defenses in the Big 12, asking about Will Grier. This was pre-Senior Bowl. The first thing I heard was, interesting player, the Senior Bowl will be big for him. So this stuff matters. It matters to the Patriots. So let's get into our conversation right now with Jim Nagy, executive director of the Reese's Senior Bowl. Jim, thanks so much for being with us, my man.
Yeah, appreciate you guys having me on.
It's unbelievable the numbers that we've seen from the Senior Bowl this year. 93 Senior Bowl players selected in the draft. That's way over the average of the last decade. 83.7 has been the average for the last 10 years. Plus, 10 first-rounders, which is the most since 2011, when there were 12 first-rounders taken from the Senior Bowl. But back in 2011, there were only 56 juniors in the draft. There are 144 juniors in the draft this year, and you're still getting double-digit first-rounders coming from the Senior Bowl. It's been a good year for the Senior Bowl, Jim.
Yeah, it has. It really has. Really proud of everything our staff did this year. You know, this is my first year running the game, and so we changed up a lot of things on the football side of things. We really use social media to recruit, trying to connect with these players, you know, throughout the season. And it paid dividends. And again, it was a good draft class. And I tip my hat to these players because, you know, I think for a lot of years, you know, I think the trend was that, you know, these guys, first and second round players were, kind of saw it as, well, I don't need an all-star game to help myself, help my case. And this group bought in, and they wanted to come down here and compete, and they didn't shy away from it. And, you know, there was a handful of the guys that went in the first that probably would have went. And there was a handful that, you know, really, you know, boosted their stock and got themselves into the first round with their week down here in Mobile. So, yeah, it was a really rewarding last weekend in Nashville to see it all come together, and just proud of all these players.
Now, Jim, you know, almost two decades in the NFL as a scout. I know you spent time as an area scout, a national scout, spent some time with the Patriots, which is great for our purposes and for our listeners, because you know what's important to these teams as they go through the pre-draft process and as they go to, you know, something like the Senior Bowl. You know what they're looking for. So when it comes to the Senior Bowl itself, what do you think is the biggest thing that benefits these players headed into the draft?
I think if teams come down and they're really prepared to roll up their sleeves and work really hard during the week, there's so many things you can take away that you can't during the fall at the school. So, you know, the scouts are on the road all fall, and they're busting their butts to, you know, be in the schools and use their connections and their sources, whether it be, you know, position coaches, coordinators, custodians, you know, the lady at the cafeteria. You know, they're talking to all those people and relying on relationships to get information. Well, the Senior Bowl is really the first time that they can ever truly get their hands on these guys and sit down with them and hear the player side of their story and where they came from and make that connection. I think that, you know, those first interactions are so critical with the players. When you hear from them, you've heard from a lot of people throughout the fall of where these guys came from, but to hear it from them, where they came from, what they've overcome in life, their family backgrounds, is critical. And then on the field, I mean, you can get right down on the field, so you can see how guys are taking coaching and applying coaching and bouncing back from a bad rep in one-on-ones where they, you know, get their butts whooped, and see how they, you know, pop back up and take the next rep, and just so many little things like that. And every position's got a different, you know, something you can take away from the practice week. And then, you know, even into the game, you know, see which guys step up, you know, on the big stage and, you know, in front of a national audience on the NFL Network. And a lot of these small school guys that come to the game, that's the biggest crowd they've ever played in front of. You know, it was great. I was talking to some of the guys after the game this year, and they're like, Jim, I've never played in front of 30,000 plus before. So it was, you know, you just see how guys respond to different situations. And, you know, the teams that really come down here and attack the week, I think they can walk away with a great feel for these players.
Yeah, I asked Nick Caserio after the final day of the draft about the Senior Bowl and the benefits in terms of being able to go down there and what they take from it as a team. And as you mentioned, how they respond to situations, that's really the first thing that he brought up. It's these guys are really taken out of their comfort zone in a lot of ways. They're out of their normal everyday environment, and not only are they dealing with new teammates and new coaches, and they're learning, you know, new systems. It may be, you know, relatively, I don't want to say rudimentary, but it's not like they're getting a whole playbook, NFL playbook thrown at them, but they do have to learn a significant amount, and they're doing things that maybe they never did, you know, especially something like the quarterback position. If you took all your snaps out of the shotgun, they're going to have you under center. They're going to have you doing some different things. So it felt like that was, something that the Patriots really focused in on, was how do these guys handle just being in a new situation? And it felt like, to me, for them, that meant quite a bit. Is that something that you would, you know, from your scouting days, Jim, you would be looking at too and saying, okay, just wanting to see how a player maybe handled a new situation or being told to do something different and how he absorbed that? Because I guess in some ways, they're going to be doing the same thing if they get drafted and they land with your team. They're going to have a whole new world thrown at them, and how they handle it could really determine how well they develop, especially in that first year, but maybe for the long term.
Yeah, and that's particularly particularly important, impactful for a team like the Patriots that is a, you know, a game plan team, and they change things week to week. You got to see how players adapt. And I'll say this too. It's a really taxing week on these players. And we tell them that, you know, I tell them that at the orientation, that this is not going to be an easy week. You know, we make it demanding and stressful for a reason, because that's life in the NFL. So, you know, they are interviewing Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday nights, all night, basically. When they get back off the bus from practice, they eat dinner, and they are interviewing all night up until about 11 o'clock, 11:30 with NFL teams. Then they got to get back to the room and actually study the playbook. So there's a lot of time management that's involved. The playbooks are, you know, pared back a little bit. I mean, there's no doubt about that, but it's still a new learning thing. And, you know, you brought up the quarterback thing, no doubt, you know, they're getting in a huddle for the first time. I mean, no colleges huddle anymore. They're looking over at the sidelines and seeing, you know, cue cards of Fred Flintstone in a banana, and that's the play call. So, you know, to actually get in a huddle and have a coach like John Gruden, you know, chewing on you while you're trying to spit out his verbiage and communicate to your players, and you know, and even getting under center, like you said. I mean, Gardner Minshew, the quarterback from Washington State, approached me the first day, and he said, "Jim, can I get the cell phone numbers of all the centers on the South team and the equipment guys from the 49ers, who was their staff?" He goes, "We got to start taking snaps." You know, next thing you know, I go down to the you know, the players lounge where we eat, and you know, there they are, all the QBs. He coordinated it. Gardner coordinated all the QBs and centers down there taking snaps. So it's a taxing week. And you know, the Patriots, I know that, you know, it's a grind. That system is a grind. I was there for 7 years, and you know, I think this, seeing them down here in this environment is great for the Patriots organization to see how they respond.
So we mentioned some of the new things the quarterbacks will have to deal with. Let's talk about one of those quarterbacks. Again, the Patriots had a handful of players that were at the Senior Bowl, or, you know, Chase Winovich, who we'll talk about, had accepted his invitation to be at the Senior Bowl but was dealing with an injury and so didn't end up playing. But let's start with Jarrett Stidham, fourth-round pick out of Auburn. You know, talk about doing some new things at the Senior Bowl versus what you're doing collegiately. I don't think anybody would call that Auburn offense, you know, quote-unquote, pro style. But when we talked the other night very briefly, Jim, you said, you know, you felt like maybe this Jarrett Stidham pick was one of your favorite picks of the weekend. Why is that? And what did he show down at the Senior Bowl that maybe would allow a team like the Patriots to be able to envision, okay, based on what we saw these few days, we feel like this guy could come in and give us a representative effort?
Yeah, no, Jarrett has been. I thought that was one of the best picks of the weekend from a value perspective. You know, I really think the narrative that was set through the media, that the best four quarterbacks in the draft were Murray, Haskins, Locke, and Jones. You know, like those were like the clear-cut top four. I kind of disagree with that. I think the second tier of Stidham and Will Grier and Finley from North Carolina State, and even Clayton Thorson from Northwestern, I felt like that second group of four was really darn close to that first group of four. I think that second group checked as many or more of the boxes than some of the guys in that first group. So to get Jarrett all the way down to the fourth round is, to me, was incredible. I thought he was the most mechanically sound quarterback in the draft. He throws a absolutely beautiful football. When the people in New England can go to training camp this year and see this kid throw the ball, I mean, it comes off his hand so clean, and it's such a pretty ball. So he's fun to watch throw. And I just go back to my first exposure to Jarrett was a couple of years ago. We were back when I was scouting for the Seahawks. We left Alabama's pro day, went over to Auburn's. Theirs was the next day. And Gus Malzahn opened up practice for the scouts to watch. And Jarrett had just transferred in from Baylor. So I'd never seen him before. And he was just lighting it up that day in practice. I mean, to all levels of the field, deep, intermediate, easy, short stuff. And I had to grab a couple coaches on the staff and ask them, "Hey, is this kid, or am I like, is this an aberration?" And they're like, "No, Jim, this is him every day." And I was like, "Okay, wow." And you know, then going into that junior year, I saw him beat Georgia at home, a Georgia team that went to the college football playoff. I saw him beat Alabama in the Iron Bowl. So he's won big games. And then rolling into this year, did Auburn season pan out exactly how the Auburn fan base or Jarrett would have liked? Absolutely not. You know, Jarrett would tell you that. But, you know, he unfortunately shouldered way too much of the blame for that. You know, they were young up front in the offensive line. That group never really gelled. They lost Kerryon Johnson to the Detroit Lions, who is a good runner, but I thought he was the best pass protecting running back in last year's draft. So that was an issue. And then they had a couple receivers that run 4-3, you know, and they never pushed the ball deep. So they get to the bowl game and Gus Malzahn takes over the play calling duties and Jarrett puts up 56 points on a Purdue team that, you know, in one half, he sets the all-time bowl record. They scored 56 points and a half. And I've had people kind of scoff at it and say, well, it was Purdue. And my counterpoint is that's the same Purdue team that, you know, that beat Dwayne Haskins and made Dwayne Haskins look like he wasn't a draftable player. So I think there's a lot to Jarrett and his development behind Tom Brady will be. It's nice that he won't have to play right away. I don't think any of these guys in these class ideally will have to play, should have to play right away. But I think Jarrett's got as much upside as anyone in this year's draft, and being playing behind Tom is a perfect situation.
Well, and you mentioned, you know, some of the games that he put together in 2017 where, again, the offensive line was probably a little bit more talented and he had somebody like Kerryon Johnson, and it is the same offense, you know, a lot of tunnel screens and things of that nature, but you're seeing him make throws under pressure, down the field, into tight windows, where even though the offense is what it is, there are glimpses of what Jarrett could do in a pro scheme and the Patriots scheme and say, okay, that might be the kind of throw that the Patriots would ask him to make. And you mentioned he throws such a beautiful ball. Why is that important, Jim? Like when we talk about that, you know, maybe especially for somebody who's going to be playing in New England, like, you know, it's nice for it to look nice, but why is that critical at that position?
Because it's just natural, you know, like he's just a natural thrower. Some of these guys are, you know, have to get drilled and go to camps. And I've made the comment a couple of times over the year down here in Alabama about him is that Jarrett like came out of the womb throwing a football. I mean, it's so natural to him. So it doesn't matter, you know, if his feet are right, you know, if he's off balance, if he's, you know, if he's got to adjust his arm angle, the ball just comes off his hand so clean. So that's why it's important. And again, like you made a really good point. You see him make a lot of throws under duress, and you see him make a lot of tight window throws. Those are NFL throws. It's not, I mean, there was a couple quarterbacks in this draft that they really just sat back in a clean pocket and played pitch and catch all the time. And that's not the NFL. So when I evaluate quarterbacks, I want to see guys that are, you know, throwing with people in their face and throwing into tight windows. And I go back to seeing Jarrett play week one against Washington this year in the Chick-fil-A kickoff deal in Atlanta. And you can go back to my Twitter feed from that day back in September. I mean, some of his red zone throws in that game were incredible. If you want to see a guy's true accuracy, go just do a cut up of all the red zone stuff. And his ball placement in the red zone, even on that day, but over the course of the year is you know, one of the best in the class, and maybe the best in this year's class. So he brings a lot to the table. You know, he really does. He's naturally accurate. He's such a natural thrower. So again, I don't want to go overboard. He was a fourth round pick, but I really think, I just can't believe he was still there. You know, there's some family stuff that, you know, that he's had to work through. There was the transfer from Baylor and being in that situation. And then, you know, and then just dealing with a fan base down here this year at Auburn that got on him, and, you know, he shouldered way too much of the blame for that. So this kid's a mentally tough guy. Seeing him down here at the Senior Bowl, he's got a ton of presence about him. He comes across like an adult when you spend time with him, and he's ready to be a pro. And I spent time around a lot of the quarterbacks in this class, and I can't say the same thing.
Jim, before we move on to some of these other guys, because I do want to hit on some of these other guys quickly, I do want to ask you, you know, you mentioned it'll be a good thing for him. He'll have a chance to sit behind Brady and develop a little bit further and get accustomed to everything that's going to be thrown his way when it comes to dealing with this offense. But do you feel like he has starting caliber quarterback upside? And could you envision him starting even in this Patriots system?
No question. No, and I was in New England when we picked a bunch of quarterbacks, you know, and this guy's the best one they've drafted. I liked Jacoby Brissett quite a bit when he was coming out of North Carolina State. I did like that pick, but no, Jarrett's got starter ability, no doubt in my mind. He, you know, if they develop him right And again, quarterback play is all about opportunity and situation. And, you know, I think he's in a good spot to really maximize that. But yeah, I think Jared could definitely be a starter in the NFL.
Well, it will definitely be exciting to see how he interacts with his teammates, how things go when it comes to the rookie mini camps and OTAs, and it'll be a lot of fun to watch him develop because, again, he's clearly an impressive athlete. He was an impressive guy when we got a chance to talk to him on the conference call, however brief that was, as soon as he was drafted. But, you know, just talking about some of these plays that you get a chance to see him make on the move, you know, he's a good athlete. So I think there's a lot of things that the Patriots will be excited to work with there with Jarrett. Now, we mentioned Chase too, Jim. Now, Chase didn't get a chance to participate in the week down there in Mobile, but what was it that drew you to Chase and that wanted you to have him participate in everything? And again, unfortunately, he couldn't because of the injury, but what stood out to you about Chase that made him a fit for the Senior Bowl and that might make him a fit for the Patriots?
Just a really good football player. You know, I mean, that's all we're trying to do here is bring good football players down that the NFL wants to see. And you put on the tape, and it doesn't take a great scout to notice Chase Winovich. I mean, he makes you notice him with how hard he plays. Really underrated athlete. I think people finally saw it once the combine numbers were staring him in the face. But he's got really good quickness, you know, in body control, and he's a really natural football player. You know, you watch Rashawn Gary, you know, you put on the tape to watch Rashawn Gary, and you just can't help but look down. Your eyes just go to the other end of the line and watch Chase Winovich because he knows how to play. He knows how to set up tackles. He knows how to keep them off balance. Really hard guy to block and just plays 1,000 miles an hour. So, you know, I scouted Rob Ninkovich when he was coming out of Purdue, and I was in New England at the time. And, you know, we didn't draft Rob, but, you know, I had a good grade on Rob. I really liked Rob. And he was playing behind Anthony Spencer at Purdue most of his career. You know, he's a junior college kid out of Joliet Junior College and really didn't have I think he only had 6 or 7 starts. You know, he started about the second half of his senior year. So the grade I put on Rob, I really felt like I was sticking my neck out for him. And, you know, didn't get a lot of traction in the building for Rob when he was coming out of college, but it was kind of cool to see the Patriots, you know, circle back and pick him up, you know, later after he, you know, went to New Orleans and Miami and had a really nice career in New England. And I know the Patriots fans probably, you know, think very highly of what Rob did for their team. And to me, Chase Winovich is a better version of Rob Ninkovich. He's you know, a little twitchier, faster, and but the same combative, hard playing guy. So you know, he's all football, and I think it was a great pick. You know, unfortunately he hurt his foot in that Peach Bowl against Florida, and he couldn't come down. But I'll say this about Chase: so we had a couple players that had to pull out of the Senior Bowl this year because of injuries that happened in their bowl games, and you know, Chase was the only one that called me personally to thank me for the invite and, you know, tell me that he, regrets that he got hurt and he's not going to be able to come down. But I think that says something about Chase, the person too, is that, you know, he's just a grown man. He's ready to be a pro. And that's why I think, you know, at minimum, he's going to be able to get on the field and help the Patriots, you know, in sub packages this year as a pass rusher.
Now, Jim, our listeners are going to think that this was planned, that this was some kind of plant, because you mentioned Rob Ninkovich. And I don't think we talked at all about Rob previous to doing the podcast here today, but Rob is actually my co-host. We did the Expats podcast during the season. We did Monday Night Patriots. It was a half-hour show every week, every Monday night. And we did a podcast as well along with that. And this podcast has sort of evolved to the Next Pats podcast during the off-season because we don't have Rob with us. But people are going to be really excited because people that listen to this podcast have heard a lot from Rob over the course of the last calendar year. And so to hear his name mentioned in the same breath as Chase's, I think we'll get them really fired up, even though the comparisons with the last name. And, you know, we even did a segment, Jim, where we chose a quote unquote Vitch of the week every single week because not Rob Ninkovich said, you know, a Vitch is a guy, a blue collar guy, somebody who's going to get after people, snap after snap after snap. And so we picked one every week. And now it's like our Vitch of the Week is set now. Every week it's got to be Chase Winovich. He's just locked in for that. But he'll be a lot of fun to watch, it seems like. And you mentioned it at the end, but do you feel like his best role will be as a sub-rush type of player, at least early on, for the Patriots?
Yeah, I think right away, that at minimum, that's what you're talking about, you know? But no, he's a starter-level player. He's an every-down player. He's good against the run, so don't take that comment that I don't think he can play the run. He's actually really good against the run. He can make plays at the point of attack because he's so good with his hands, and he gets rid of blocks. And like I said, he's got a really nice closing burst from the backside, and he plays his tail off, so he makes a ton of plays, you know, chasing from the backside. So I was just saying, at minimum, he'll get on the field, you know, on sub downs, but he's going to be an every down starter for the Patriots.
When it comes to Byron Cowart, I wanted to ask you about Byron because he's an interesting story as well. Jim, sounded like he was, according to some people at least, the number one player from his high school class, goes to Auburn, kind of gets lost in the shuffle maybe a little bit at Auburn, transfers, ends up at Maryland, has a good year last year at Maryland, but kind of a freaky talent athletically, at least, you know, looking at some of the guys that are on the Patriots roster already, a lot of the testing numbers, and I know, you know, sometimes we overrate those, but a lot of his numbers pretty similar to Michael Bennett's when Michael Bennett was coming out of college, and he was about 20 pounds lighter than Byron. So clearly some physical gifts there with Byron, but how do you see him fitting in, and what did he show in Mobile that ends up getting him drafted and taken by the Patriots?
Yeah, Byron, you know, a lot of times with those five-star kids, they get those ratings based off their genetics, you know. And when you see Byron, when he gets up there to New England, you see this dude in his pads. He looks – he's got the genetics, there's no doubt. He's a great-looking kid on the hoof when you see him. And what you see on tape, you know, he was categorized as a junior coming into the year, so we didn't even think he was going to be Senior Bowl eligible. And they reclassified him midway through the year. So there was scouts were playing catch up on this guy. The guys that scouts that went into Maryland, you know, in September, August, September, that beginning part of October, they weren't really even paying attention to him because they thought he was going to be for next year's class. Well, they reclassified him. And so people, you know, late in the year, November, people were rushing back into Maryland to do him. And really thought calling around, you know, around the time we were putting the roster together, thought he had a chance of going in the third round. And he's heavy-handed at the point of attack. He's a big, thick, strong man. So he's got some versatility. You bring up Michael Bennett. You know, we had Michael when I was in Seattle and was a really good player for us. So I was around Mike B. He's not as loose as an athlete or as slippery as a player as Mike B was. But so he's more of a power player and, you know, just really, really heavy-handed at the point of attack. You can move him around, you know, in your front, so he's going to give you versatility that way, which you know, Bill always likes, guys, the more you can do. So he's going to fit them that way. And, again, he's right now he's a little more of a first and second down run player, but because of the athleticism, he's got the tools to develop on third down. They just need to work with him on some of the pass rush stuff.
Yeah, to me, I wondered if he was sort of a Lawrence Guy type almost, where, you know, he looks sort of like a classic five technique. He's about 300 pounds, but somebody who's versatile. And obviously the Patriots have moved Lawrence around quite a bit, but has been primarily a first and second down guy and has been really good against the run for them, but has been used all over the line. And so I look at Byron and his size and some of that versatility that you mentioned. I say, you know what, they might have a role in mind here. It feels like a role that they've had for the last few years now in Lawrence. Is that kind of something that you could envision too, Jim?
Yeah, no, that makes sense. The way I haven't done Lawrence Guy since he came out of Arizona State, right?
Yes. Yeah.
God, that seems like eons ago. So I can't even.
You've seen a lot of guys since then. It's been a while.
I did him when he was coming out of Arizona State, but, you know, that's the thing is college scouts, too. Once they get to the pros, you kind of lose track of them unless they're playing for your football team. Now, you try to go back as a college scout and watch a lot of NFL tape over the summer just to kind of recalibrate your mind what guys look like playing at the next level. But I haven't seen Lawrence play in a lot of years. But, yeah, I see Byron can be a really versatile player for him.
last guy I wanted to mention, Jim, and see what you thought, was actually an undrafted player. Jacoby Myers, the receiver out of NC State. He was a really interesting guy to me because I know he made a position switch, you know, relatively late in his career. And we actually did a fair amount on Ryan Finley before the draft, just trying to watch as much tape as we could on him and reading and researching as much as we could about him because we knew the Patriots were interested in quarterbacks. And in watching Ryan Finley, Jacoby Myers seemed to be the guy that he continued to go to when he was under duress or when he needed a first down, you know, third and long. It was really Jacoby Myers, and they had some other talent there offensively and at that receiver position. They had a receiver go in the sixth round. But what was it about Jacoby Myers that landed him at the Senior Bowl? And when he wasn't drafted, were you surprised?
Yeah, I was shocked, frankly. Jacoby's a really good player. So Kelvin Harmon was the other guy that you said got picked in the sixth round. In my mind, Jacoby's was a better player. The way I'll frame it for you is for the Senior Bowl, I mean, some of these guys, they're like back end, you know, they're kind of like, we filled out the first 90 spots and we're, you know, we brought 114 to the game. So those last spots, you're really making some tough decisions on, you know, the last three or four receiver spots, you know, like who do we bring? Jacoby was a no-brainer. He really was. Like I never hesitated thinking we should bring Jacoby to this game. So it did. It really surprised me. That's a heck of a free agent get. So he's, you know, he's a junior. So he's young. You know, he needs to, you know, there's a lot out in front of him. I hope that they're patient with like the transition, but for a guy that went to NC State as a quarterback, you see that in Jacoby's play. You know, a lot of times when you do college receivers, and I know I've heard Coach Belichick comment about it publicly, you know, over the last few months here. I mean, we used to get preached, you know, this when I worked there, is that, you know, projecting college receivers is one of the hardest positions because, you know, the college passing game is so different. All those routes are locked. You know, these kids don't have to read coverage. But you see, like, that's the first thing you see in Jacoby Myers is that they play him in the slot. So he's not a typical Patriot slot. You know, they like the, you know, undersized, you know, quicker than fast guys that can get in out of cuts. But he did play in the slot for NC State. And he's got a really nice feel for coverage and adjusting stuff when he has to. And just a really, he's got a savvy about him that, you know, just that's the first thing that jumps out at you. And he's a really versatile athlete. He's great with the ball. Contested catch stuff that's what I thought would get him drafted. Now he can go up and adjust and contort his body and really take the football away from people. And is unfazed in a crowd. Toughness is not a question for a guy being a former quarterback. He does not care if he gets hit, and he can come to the ground and secure the catch. So really strong hands. I think that was again. I just can't believe how that guy could go undrafted. What he put on tape this year for North Carolina State, especially, you know, like you said, all the teams were doing the same homework that you guys were trying to do on Ryan Finley, and doing a deep dive on Ryan and trying to figure him out. I mean, I just can't believe you would watch all that NC State tape and not want Jacoby Myers on your team. So he's a guy that I definitely think could make that 53-man roster coming out of camp.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. First team all ACC, and to be really sort of a trending upward type of talent because he is so new to the position, and he shows so much savvy for a guy who is a relatively new receiver. You see him working the sideline, and like you said, securing difficult catches. It just feels like there is a lot to work there, and so will be interesting to see how he meshes with the program here in New England. Well, Jim, we've kept you for so long here, man, and I really appreciate all the time. We didn't even get to the punter. We didn't even get to Jake. I feel bad about Jake. Jake was one of the Senior Bowl punters this year, and I think he's an interesting, you know, addition to this roster because they have Ryan Allen on the roster, and I think he's really going to give him a run for money for a roster spot. Anything quickly you can tell us about Jake from your experience with him?
No, Jake's awesome. Jake's parents were great. They were down here in Mobile. You know, as a scout, nobody likes doing specialists. I mean, if you find me a scout that says he loves watching punt kickers, I mean, that'll be the first scout I've ever met that likes doing specialists. But Jake's really good at his craft. He's an awesome kid. He, again, another guy that's ready to be a pro. And, you know, it might sound like a broken record, but especially in the Patriots system, you got to hit the ground running. You know, they're not going to wait for you to figure it out too long. So Jake is a guy that's going to come out there and he's going to be ready to go. And, you know, just hitting the ball down here, he definitely has the leg to do it. The biggest thing for college punters is, do they have the consistency? There's a lot of college punters that have big enough legs to punt at the next level, but that, you know, they're just not consistent enough. So Jake was great during the week down here. So I'm pulling for him. I hope he goes up there and makes it. And, you know, some of those times with the specialists, not to stereotype them, but sometimes they can be a little flaky and a little weird. And Jake's a totally normal guy. So he'll fit in that locker room. And I think he'll do good things up there.
We like flaky and weird occasionally. That could be good for us too. It keeps things light, keeps things fun. But no, but Jake seems like somebody who's going to fit in right away, as you mentioned. Well, Jim, thanks again so much for spending so much time with us here, running through so many of these players. Again, it was a huge year for the Senior Bowl, and you've been a tremendous guest. So thanks again for all your time and your insight on these guys and on the Senior Bowl in general. I think it'll have our listeners paying even more attention to, okay, who's going to be down there in Mobile in 2020 and which of these guys might fit with the Patriots. The answer is probably, you know, more than a handful. So thanks again for all you shared with us today.
Yeah, I appreciate you having me on. And for, you know, for those listeners, they can follow me at on Twitter at JimNagy_SB. We're already posting our players, you know, our watch list for next year. And we're about 80% done with our board for next year's game going into the summer. And so if they, you know, they follow us, they'll have a really good idea working through next fall of, you know, who we're going to be bringing to next year's game.
Awesome. Relatively new to Twitter, right? But an awesome follow. Again, yeah, at JimNagy_SB. And you'll be able to track everything that's going on with the Senior Bowl and figure out who some of these players are going to be that are going to be down there next year. Jim, thanks so much again, my friend. And hopefully we'll be talking to you soon.
Okay. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Just an unbelievable amount of insight from Jim as it relates to all of these players that are now here in New England that have come to New England via the Senior Bowl. Thanks again for listening, guys. Please be sure to continue to rate, comment, subscribe if you haven't already. We will talk to you very soon.
Dreaming of starting your own podcast? Make it a reality with the Movo Pod Kit, the podcast bundle designed for aspiring podcasters ready to share their voice with the world. The Pod Kit is equipped with everything you'll need to sound like a pro while being backed by a one-year warranty with a US-based support team. Start your podcasting journey today with the Movo Pod Kit and let the world hear your story. Movo, creators wanted.